Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for being here. This is the IUGIA IFED side event on the establishment of an Indigenous Peoples Forum at IFED. I would first introduce the panelists who will speak and then go quickly through the agenda, and then we will start. Our panelists today on the podium are those actually part of the steering, the ad hoc and interim steering committee of the Indigenous Peoples Forum at IFED. We will have IFED presenting with Mr. Rodney Cook, who is the director of the Policy and Technical Advisory Division at IFED. And this is the division where the Desk of Indigenous and Tribal Issues is located. We will have Vicky Victoria Taulikopoulos, for everybody, she's Vicky. And Vicky will present also on the perspective of Indigenous peoples in establishing this forum and the process we have followed. Vicky has been supporting helping IFED to mainstream Indigenous peoples' issues in the past 10 years. We will then switch to the way forward. Now that we have established a forum at IFED, which would be the future opportunities and challenges, and these will be provided from a regional perspective. So from Africa, we have Joseph Simmel, the executive director on PIDO. From Asia, we are waiting for Devashish Roy, but we also know that the members of the forum are busy with the press releases, so they said they will try their best to join us. And also from Asia, we have Lalji Desai, and Lalji is the Secretary General of the World Alliance of Mobile Indigenous Peoples, WAMIP, and also the executive director of MARAG from India. From Latin America, we hope Mirna will be able to join us soon after the press conference. And then we have Carlos Gitiach Arcos from COICA. And then we will also invite all the participants that were at the workshop at IFED in February, the workshop which actually established the forum, to provide their views from the floor. And then we will have a session of questions and answers. Now I will give the floor to Lola Garcia Alex, the executive director of IUGIA. And I need to thank Lola and the entire team of IUGIA who has been supporting IFED throughout the process, supporting us for the workshop in Rome and here today. And Lola, you have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Antonella. I'm very delighted to be with you here today, with all the speakers, with the IFED management, and would like to welcome all of you to this side event. I think Antonella briefly went through the agenda, so more or less it was clear what is the purpose of this side event, and is the presentation of the establishment of an Indigenous forum in IFED. And of course, in that process, there's only two actors, which are Indigenous peoples and IFED. So you will all wonder what is an NGO like IFGIA doing here. And the reason why we are engaged and supportive to this process is because we believe is a step forward, or the right step, in order to bridge the gap between policy and action. So we see the forum as a concrete step on IFED's side to implement their policy framework. And this is the issue of the implementation, is one of the issues that is seen now, and it is one of the biggest challenges. So in that context, our role, and with all my respect to IFAD, is to support indigenous peoples, to really engage in that process. And the way that we have done it mainly is with the documentation. If GIA's, one of GIA's main activities is to document on the situation of indigenous peoples, but also to document on processes that are relevant to indigenous peoples. So in the process also, a part to help indigenous peoples and IFAD with part of the logistics on the meeting that was held in Rome to establish the forum, it was also to produce a video, of 28 minutes with interviews to all the actors, both indigenous representatives and IFAD's management. What were the views, the expectations, the demands? And I'm very pleased to be able to present to you a short trailer of 7 minutes, which I think it will be a good introduction for all our speakers here today, and to continue discussing the establishment of the Indigenous Forum in IFAD. And I will also take this opportunity to congratulate both IFAD and Indigenous peoples, because I think it has been a great achievement. Thank you very much. And I will try to set up the video. No, it's coming.
We need to understand what's IFAD, what does the policy says.
No siempre hablamos de la necesidad de institucionalizar la participación de los pueblos indígenas.
Porque probablemente la mejor inversión que podamos hacer en el mundo rural en América Latina sea justamente invertir en los activos culturales de pueblos indígenas y de pueblos afro.
We think that it is high time that we engage with IFAD by having.
Indigenous people are disproportionately represented amongst the poorer sectors of the poorer countries. So since our focus is on the poorer sectors, indigenous people are in the center frame in a large number of countries.
I am delighted to welcome you to IFAD's workshop on establishing an Indigenous Peoples Forum.
One of the conclusions that we want to obtain from you in these 2 days is, how can we do better? What can IFAD do better to support Indigenous peoples' organizations and Indigenous peoples?
We think that it is high time that we define the way we engage with IFAD by having a forum that is driven and inclusive of Indigenous peoples' representatives, and so that we can be able to define our destiny, in collaboration with the IFAD staff.
Yo lo veo como una oportunidad que debemos de aprovechar, que se diferencia definitivamente de los otros espacios y los otros mecanismos, porque tiene que ver con implementación en el terreno de proyectos y programas que tienen que ver con la reducción de la pobreza.
IFAD, through the years, has come to recognize the distinctiveness of indigenous peoples and has come to understand that this distinctiveness is the real asset and is the economic potential to build development upon.
El reto del futuro no es tanto ver cómo apoyamos la pequeña agricultura, la pequeña ganadería o pequeñas actividades, sino cómo valorizamos los territorios, cómo valorizamos los recursos naturales, cómo contribuimos al cambio climático, cómo generamos nuevos tipos de emprendimientos. Si empezamos preocupándonos por los cultivos de los indígenas y de los afros, hoy en día nos preocupamos muchísimo más por sus saberes y por sus capacidades de contribuir al resto de la sociedad.
Porque no queremos solo reducir nuestra pobreza, sino, y sobre todo, queremos recuperar nuestra riqueza. Es decir, nuestros modos de vida, nuestros territorios, nuestros sistemas de producción y alimentación, nuestra lengua, nuestra historia, nuestra cultura. Y eso es lo que es para nosotros desarrollo con cultura e identidad.
I think there are still a lot of lessons to be drawn, and it needs further studies and that should involve the participation of indigenous peoples so that our perspectives and our visions are accounted for in this kind of studies.
The basic perspectives, views, visions of development have to be understood. Otherwise, then, even with a policy as progressive as IFAD's, when you operationalize it, when you implement it, a lot of it might get lost in the process.
IFAD has a very distinct mandate, which is to promote rural development and poverty reduction. No? So the forum should really be focusing on that mandate. But the way that the forum will do that is to really promote a very vibrant dialogue between indigenous peoples.
I am very optimistic. I am in fact hoping that this process will be good, that it will be something that we can share and use with the other agencies. There are a lot of UN agencies that some of them have Indigenous Peoples Policy, but IFAD is the first one, from what I know, that is establishing a specific platform for Indigenous Peoples that is going to be a direct interface with the highest level of decision-making, policy-making, that is in the agency.
There is a forum that is just for talking, but we don't see the results in the actual policies and projects, then it will not be successful. But if we see that the participation indeed leads to changes in policies and procedures, then we can say yes, it has been successful.
I see both opportunities for indigenous peoples and possibilities for IFAD at the same time.
We fought very hard for this. This is not something that just came out of IFAD. It's something that we as indigenous peoples have worked for many years, and it's now coming into fruition. So we should use this opportunity to really shape it in the way we like it to be.
Me parece que es una oportunidad porque ayuda a reducir esa enorme brecha entre los reconocimientos de los derechos y su implementación.
Forum. We started without one and now we have one.
So I think the video has given us a very good background to start with the presenters. So I have the enormous pleasure to give the floor to Mr. Rodney Cook, and who is the Director, Policy and Technical Advisory Division from the Program Management Department in IFAD. Rodney, you have the floor.
Presentation. Oh, yes. Yeah, no, take over. So you can just click with one thing.
Okay, thank you, Lola. Thank you
friends and colleagues of the Permanent Forum. Looking at that video, there was really only the words of Vicky that explained a little what is IFAD. So maybe I ought to, because looking at many of the people in the room, maybe not everyone knows much about IFAD, so let me just a couple of minutes on that. First of all, it focuses exclusively on the poor people who live in rural areas of developing countries. That's the focus. It's also unique in being an international financial institution as well as a UN organization. So IFAD's focus is on co-financing country-led and owned programs entirely in the sector of agriculture, rural development. Yeah, can I just advance that myself?
Yes.
That's easier.
No, it's
yeah.
Because we have...
Ah, okay. Don't bother looking at the PowerPoints yet. So IFAD's business is country-led and owned programs in rural development. And in the last recent years, our program is of the order of $1 billion a year. And the focus is entirely on enabling poor rural people to improve their food security, to raise incomes and strengthen their resilience. So that's enough about IFAD. Now, you recall at the last session of the Permanent Forum, we launched our policy on engagement with Indigenous people, and a key element in that was this discussion of an Indigenous Peoples Forum. But first of all, for those of you that weren't at the 9th forum, that one doesn't send it down. Where does it go? Here? Oh, okay. That's the goal of our policy, to enhance IFAD's development effectiveness in its engagement with Indigenous peoples in rural areas, and especially to empower them to overcome poverty by building upon their identity and culture. And like all good policies, we had some principles of engagement. Indeed, we had 9. So the first one, of course, on culture, heritage, and identity, the free, prior, and informed consent, community-driven development, and promoting equitable access to land, resources, and territories. And you may recall that Myrna gave a special emphasis this morning to access to water. On all of you people that are worried about adaptation to climate change, that's all about management of water. So Myrna, once again, very much at the forefront of our concerns. Fifthly, valuing Indigenous peoples' knowledge. And the last 4, resilience of ecosystems with Indigenous people, access to markets, and empowerment and enabling of Indigenous people and their organizations, and promoting gender equality. Now, so that was the policy we put to the 9th forum. So where did this Indigenous Peoples Forum come from as a method, one of the means of implementing that? First of all, because all of the Indigenous Peoples groups that we'd been working with spoke about the need for a more systematic dialogue with UN agencies. And therefore, our policy also include partnership with Indigenous Peoples as one of the key instruments. So how did we actualize that? An Indigenous Peoples Forum at IFAD, a concrete attempt to institutionalize a process of consultation and dialogue. Now, it's not new to IFAD. Some of you that have studied some of what we do will see that we've also been very concerned with farmers' fora, and we established a farmers' forum for similar reasons as long ago as 2005, and we learned some lessons on the way on how we might best articulate such a forum for Indigenous people. So the purpose, to increase development effectiveness of IFAD and improve our accountability to our target groups. And secondly, unless we understand what poverty and development means for our Indigenous people, we won't be able to design programs that will improve their well-being and enable them and us to face the challenges ahead. So what do we need to put it in place? We need to institutionalize a dialogue process rooted in concrete partnership to better engage with Indigenous peoples' organizations at field level as well as at international level. And thirdly, there, Indigenous people need to understand what to expect from an organization like IFAD. And that's why I began just explaining a little what IFAD's principal focus is. In other words, whatever we do, we have to consider how do we work with rural people to improve their food security, to raise incomes, and to strengthen their resilience, to strengthen their ability to cope with risks. And you recall that Rebecca Greenspan, the last speaker this morning for UNDP, spoke about indigenous people being around 5% of the population of the earth, and yet representing 15% of the poor people. And that's why indigenous people play a central role in our concerns as we work to define country programs. Now, let's go back to the forum. The Indigenous Peoples Forum is not intended to duplicate other processes, and it will concentrate on how IFAD does its job better. How do we deliver value for money in enhancing food security and raising incomes of rural people? So, colleagues, how did we get there in this process? First of all, we had informal brainstorming meetings with Indigenous peoples' representatives last year during the 9th permanent forum. And then in September last year, we had, with members of the Indigenous Peoples Assistance Facility, further discussions. That led to establishing the forum through a two-day workshop in February of this year, where we had 30 representatives of different Indigenous peoples groups working with IFAD staff. And that video you saw both IFAD staff members and also some of the colleagues from Indigenous peoples, some of whom are actually on the podium with me today. What was the output? A one-page statement and a roadmap leading to the global meeting planned for February 2013 in conjunction with our Governing Council. Now, what is a Governing Council? That's our meeting once a year where we have all 160-odd country member states at a once-a-year event looking at the policy and the way forward for IFAD. So that Indigenous Peoples Forum was established in February of this year. You heard our president speaking, Kanai Onwanzi, and in the handouts that is at the back of the room, you also have a summary of the objectives we agreed in that meeting. Three objectives. First of all, to monitor and evaluate the implementation of the policy with Indigenous peoples, and this includes the policy's contribution to realizing the UNDRIP provisions. Secondly, to build and strengthen the partnerships between IFAD and Indigenous peoples in order to address poverty and development with culture and identity. And the third objective, to promote participation of Indigenous peoples' organizations in IFAD's activities, in other words, in our country program cycle. Let's look at the governance. First of all, of course, we have to have a steering committee to look at the agenda of the forum sessions and to coordinate how we get there, the intersessional activities. The composition of the steering committee, again, is in that single sheet you have at the back of the room, but there it is summarized in the middle. IFAD to serve as the secretariat with an ad hoc interim steering committee established to lead the program, the roadmap to 2013. So what does that roadmap look like? Again, you have this in writing on the handout. You see the key steps there leading through this year and next year, leading us to that first global session of the IP's forum. And I see I'm running out of time, so let me just summarize that the intention is that this will help us to guide our work with Indigenous peoples and define a common direction, a common approach, and a systematic course of action. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to conclude by thanking our principal leader in IFAD there, Antonella Cordoni, who works selflessly very long hours to deliver on some of the things that I've just been summarizing for you that will deliver on this Indigenous Peoples Forum. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Radni, for your concise and very clear presentation, giving a general overview about IFAD's work and also about what it was achieved in Rome and what is the way ahead. But now I think I will give the floor to Victoria Tauli-Cobbs, who will give us the Indigenous perspective.
Thank you very much, Lola, and good afternoon to everybody. First, let me thank IFGIA and IFAD for organizing this side event. I think it's very important that we have this, so we will be able to have the opportunity to share with you some of our thinking and views in terms of the usefulness of this forum for Indigenous peoples. But let me bring you a little back to history of how we learned about IFAD. For me, I really didn't know about IFAD until I think 2000, the year 2000. And in the year 2001, we managed to get them to support the Indigenous people's activities related to Rio Plus 10. And this is important for all of us because next year we will be holding Rio Plus 20. No? And so in 2002, we managed to convince IFAD to support Indigenous peoples to take part in the World Summit on Sustainable Development preparatory meeting, which was held in Bali just before the main event. The main conference was held in Johannesburg in 2002 September, and I think that's where I first met Rodney and Frank Roy, who used to be the assistant president, who was the one who actually was very instrumental in bringing us all into the IFAD into IFAD. When I learned about IFAD, I was thinking, if this is an institution that is really going to provide money, millions of dollars to governments, to put to implement projects in the country, and I've read through what they are doing, and I saw that they have some millions of dollars dedicated to Indigenous peoples' communities, and in the Philippines, for one, I've heard about a project which they have supported. So it was really a very interesting time because this was the period where we were starting to, of course, set up the permanent forum on Indigenous issues, but also we were lobbying very hard for the adoption of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. So when we established finally that relationship with them, one of the first things that we requested from IFAD is could we get Indigenous peoples to evaluate some of your projects which are on the ground, on the country level, so that we will really see whether you are doing it the right way. You know, we all of us, most Indigenous peoples are very skeptical about UN bodies to begin with, so that was really the beginning of that conversation. And they agreed, so we got Indigenous peoples from Latin America and from Asia to do the evaluation of some of the big projects that they have. And this was done in India, in Northeast India, also in Peru, and I think in Bolivia, and in Brazil. So this is a situation where Indigenous peoples, ourselves, are the ones looking into these projects that are being supported by IFAD is a multilateral financial institution. It's like a small world bank, so we thought it would be a good thing to see how this works. And, well, surprisingly, most of the projects that we looked into really were quite unique in a way, because these have had some impacts in terms of supporting the needs and aspirations of indigenous peoples in those particular communities. But, of course, we wanted that there should also be more evaluations of this kind that should be done in the future. So when the IFAD forum was formed, that was one of the concrete proposals again, that this will be really a partnership which will allow a very active engagement between indigenous peoples and IFAD to look into the projects and programs that are being supported by IFAD on the ground. We already have reached a stage where we already have the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. We have several UN bodies who have developed policies on indigenous peoples, and of course IFAD is one of the latest ones. And so with all those instruments that have been agreed upon at the global level, I think the biggest challenge now for us is how to operationalize all these instruments that we have achieved on the ground, so that there will really be concrete benefits and concrete gains for indigenous peoples. Now, it's one thing to have all these policies, but the more difficult thing is really to operationalize this on the ground. And we know this based on experience, because even if governments are the ones who own the UN, governments are the ones who are in the governing council of IFAD, in lots of the experiences that we have as indigenous peoples, when we go back home, we have great difficulties in getting these governments to implement the agreements that they have signed on to, or the instruments that they are actually legally bound to comply with. So it's in that framework that I think this forum is going to be very useful, because it will be an opportunity for us to look more closely into the activities, the projects, the policies of IFAD, and to see how this is consistent with the aspirations of indigenous peoples to promote their own, their self-determined development, or we say here in the forum, development with culture and identity. This is what we would like to see happen on the ground, and we are, as indigenous peoples, all of us are actively engaged in trying to understand and trying to consolidate our thinking and our experiences in bringing about the kind of development that we want as indigenous peoples, at that, and the kind of development that we think can be sustainable, so that we will not be destroying the earth, which the future generations are going to inherit from us. So this is the perspective, very clear perspective, that indigenous peoples have raised before the forum, before the discussions in Rome that you saw in the video, and we hope that this is where we are going to really work very hard, so that we will be able to achieve that kind of development that we are aspiring for. In the roadmap, you can see that the first things that we are wanting to do is, of course, to establish this, to engage in an active information campaign to talk about the IFAD policy, but also to talk about the forum, and to get the IFAD to inform all their staff, their portfolio, country portfolio managers, that there is such a policy and that there is going to be a forum that will also be monitoring how this policy is going to be implemented. And we suggested that maybe for us to be able to have a very useful forum, the first forum which will be done on 2013, we should spend 2012 to do our homework in terms of looking more closely into some of the IFAD projects that are taking place in our countries. Not all of us have projects, IFAD projects in our countries, but many of the countries within Latin America and Asia and in Africa do have some IFAD projects. Some of these are not necessarily targeted for indigenous peoples, but there are several which are really clearly targeted for indigenous peoples' communities. So we think that we should be able to have a baseline survey of IFAD's engagement with indigenous peoples in those three regions. Then we would like to see that there will be regional consultations that will be held before the global meeting or the part that the forum is formally established, is formally meeting as a forum. In the regional meetings, we think that it will be good if we really will be able to identify maybe one, two, or three projects that some indigenous peoples will look into and document, and this will be presented during the regional consultations. And finally, in the forum, when the forum is finally going to come up, we will be able to also present and consolidate the views and the experiences that have emerged from these studies that have been done. So that is the roadmap. We are thinking that if we are able to really have data, hard data on the ground, then this will make the dialogue very meaningful. And that is our hope for this forum. And we hope that this kind of partnership can also be repeated by or duplicated by other UN agencies, because we believe that the more forums we have, the more spaces we have to be able to engage directly with bilateral or multilateral agencies, the better it is for indigenous peoples. We think that we are still not in the stage where we can with confidence say that that our partnership with these UN agencies is on an equal basis. No, there's still a lot of inequality in terms of power between UN bodies and agencies and indigenous peoples. So I think that is also one of the objectives, that eventually we will really be able to reach a level where we can say that we are indeed equal partners and we are all doing what we can to bring about a better world for indigenous peoples and a better world for everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Vicky. I think we are late with our agenda, so I will go directly to Joseph Ole Simon, Executive Director of MPEDO from Kenya, who will give us future opportunities and challenge from an African perspective. Please, Joseph.
Yeah, I begin by expressing my gratitude to both IFAD and IGEA for organizing these side events, and particularly special gratitude go to Antonella. I think she has provided a lot of leadership and commitment to indigenous people's struggles. And I think that is her contribution and the senior staff at IFAD. I think tomorrow, if you are not IFAD, at least you have left a legacy that indigenous people will remember. My contribution to this discussion is to look at the opportunities and challenges, and particularly focusing on Africa. I learned in Rome in February this year that a large contribution or investment of IFAD go to Africa, and that's great. I want to put this in key points because of the time factor. Number one, we might be familiar with something called World Food Program. Most of appeal of World Food Program go to Africa. And they go to Africa because of the food or food insecurity or shortage of food. And our engagement with our IFAD from today and onwards will, no doubt in my mind, will contribute in food security among indigenous peoples. Because today, a lot of that appeal really go to indigenous people territory, sometimes known as pastoralist or nomadic societies, and this is a result of either conflict based on natural resources, or this is due to climate change impact as a result of long droughts. The second major opportunity that I see is a dialogue between indigenous people and member states. This, at the moment, depending from one country to another, but I think this relationship will really contribute a lot in building some understanding between indigenous people and government, and that will also influence public policy, how national public policy will be formulated that will then be sensitive on indigenous peoples in African continent. This initiative by IFAD indigenous peoples no doubt will provide a unique model that probably you and the other UN specialized agencies will see the value on how to engage with indigenous peoples. One of the challenges in Africa over time was rural development that being designed either at the national level or designed at the World Bank headquarters or the European Union headquarters with little contribution, with little participation of indigenous peoples. And that has undermined our identity and culture. That has even exposed our displacement of indigenous peoples. That, in my opinion, is going to change once we have such a unique understanding with IFAD. I think this sort of collaboration will, no doubt in my mind, will contribute to the respect of indigenous peoples' culture and their perspective on development. Some of the challenges, of course, exist, no doubt in my mind. Number one, how do we manage expectations? Sometimes when you have some sort of partnership, collaboration, or relationship, there might be some time to be very high expectations. How do we deal with those expectations? How much effort is going to contribute in building capacity? Indigenous people organizations have very limited capacities in dealing with a number of issues. How this relationship is going to contribute the building capacity of a number of indigenous people organizations in different countries. As I mentioned earlier, one of the difficulties we are dealing today as a continent, but also globally, is the impact of climate change. And because of that, many livelihoods are being destroyed, and many ideas are being emerging on how do we engage on alternative livelihoods. How much effort, capacity do they have in supporting indigenous peoples on alternative livelihoods? These opportunities and challenges, I think IFAD working with indigenous peoples are able really to get some learning lessons that are being shared by not only UN specialized agencies or indigenous peoples, but also by government and others who are really working with indigenous peoples. So to me, this is a unique opportunity, and I see I'm not worried about the challenges. I think the relationship will be able to overcome most of those challenges. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Now I think we will ask Mr. Devasis Roy to give the Asian perspective.
Thank you, Lula. And thanks to IFGIA and IFAD for this opportunity. And again, let me add my voice to congratulate and thank the representatives of IFAD here, Sir Rodney Cook, Antonella Cordoni, and one former IFAD friend, Mr. Frank Roy, who I had the pleasure of meeting recently in Chiang Mai, where we took part in an indigenous food festival centering around shifting cultivation. And if the chair doesn't stop my mic, I will say a few words on that. I would just want to go straight on, not necessarily Asian, but the challenges in really taking forth the whole spirit of participation and consent. As Mr. Clark says, I think consultation and dialogue. Mr. Cook, sorry. And to really operationalize it, now, one is that the February 2013 meeting, how we really build on to it from the country levels to a regional level meeting, and so that it really builds into the process insights of the problems and opportunities that we have. And the other thing is, no matter what form of oversight mechanism we have at the forum, which I am sure it is better than many other UN agencies have, but there will still be gaps. And to implement certain things at the national level are difficult on account of, among many other things, two grounds. One is the national government's presence, which can be both an opportunity and a challenge. And the other is the bureaucracy within UN agencies. Now, with regard to government, you see, the permanent forum and the UN has opened up its doors or windows or ventilators or little vents sometimes to indigenous peoples who were excluded by the national governments. But how is it reciprocated at the country level? Many national governments have not opened up. So sometimes when multilateral lenders, bilateral donors have dialogues with national governments with regard to development projects and so far, it's a bipartite thing. And the indigenous peoples are usually missing. So for them, it is then a challenge to latch on to either the government, and it depends on the situation, whether you can or cannot, or with the UN agency. But with UN agencies themselves, there are various examples of very good things. I was just thinking of one, UNDP in Bangladesh. Now, I'm not saying UNDP has come forward now, but there was a time when there was a UNDP-funded project, and indigenous peoples in Bangladesh complained that the UNDP project was violating UNDP's own guidelines, their policy on indigenous peoples. And there were complaints, and a team went from New York, actually our immediately past secretary of the Permanent Forum, Elsa, who's here sitting at the back, was part of the team along with Vicky, actually. She was not then a member of the Permanent Forum. And their job was to see where UNDP was going wrong or right. Now, so there will be occasions when the country level UN bureaucracy sometimes is not sufficiently sensitized enough. And I don't know what are the mechanisms and processes that Rome has to really get their own people to deliver what they are supposed to deliver. And it's not easy, even with bilateral. A leading bilateral donor has an exceptional policy on indigenous peoples. Policy. And then one of its ambassadors saying, but who are these indigenous peoples? We don't see them. I said, Ambassador, you will not see them in your embassy and in this ghetto where most of the diplomats live. You have to find out a way of seeing them and hearing them. So these are real, real challenges you have to deal with. And they're also, with regard to national governments, you sometimes have that there's a focus on production, on quantitative production, whereas sometimes the farmer's own innovations on crop diversity, innovations on shifting cultivation, for example. This form of cultivation actually has in it crop diversity, forest fallow linkages with biodiversity, spiritual watershed management, indigenous medicine, indigenous forms of democracy and governance, how you deal on a collective basis, decisions on not just shifting cultivation, but your whole watershed and so forth. So a lot of these things get lost when sometimes departments of agriculture go at how many bushels of corn or how much rice you're produced or high-yielding varieties and so forth. I will not go anymore, but again, just this morning, the Permanent Forum members were discussing on, I forget whether we decided or we're going to decide, but we're going to send a representative to the IFAD's forum. So I will wish good luck, and again say that IFAD's policy, I think that's the one policy which has free, prior, informed consent many, many times. And I will end it with just one thing. I hope you don't think it politically incorrect, that sometimes to implement and operationalize free, prior, and informed consent, people say, hey, but how do we deal with them? We don't know who are the leaders. And pardon me for saying this, and sometimes say, there are more chiefs than Indians. My North American indigenous brothers and sisters will forgive me. But if you are a bank, if you're giving a loan, it's your business to find out, is it the congressman or the minister or the secretary who has the power? But in the indigenous people's case, it's not really, you can't Google their names. Who's the chief and who's the sub-chief and where the, and who takes the temporal decision, then who takes the spiritual decision? And well, I'm also a traditional chief, by the way. So we have to look through that. And so free, prior, and informed consent, it can be done. UN Red is one way. I'm not necessarily saying anything about Red, but UN Red, in some cases, there are some good examples of how you can implement FPIC. I think I'll leave with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Devasi. And we continue in Asia with Lalji, and who from the pastoralist peoples in Asia. Lalji, you have the floor.
Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank you, Ifad and Vivek, for giving me an opportunity to raise pastoral voice at the Global Forum and at the Indigenous Peoples Forum. Also, like we are the unheard and voiceless and nomadic pastoralists of the world. Normally, when we talk about the indigenous people and the migratory, nomadic, mobile indigenous people are still they do not have the voice globally. The World Alliance of Mobile Indigenous People, like the communities from more than 38 countries, the pastoralists, we discuss so many times about how pastoralists will have voice at the nationally and the globally. Today's the way in which the most government agencies and the national government wants to develop the country, and in the name of the nation building and nation development, the way in which they are grabbing the land, and mainly the softest target is the common property resources. And we pastoralists are dependent on the common property resources. Today, the whole world is talking about the crisis, the climate crisis, food crisis, job crisis. We pastoralists and nomadic people, we say that we are the answer, that our lifestyle is the answer for all the crisis. And the way in which the we pastoralists live, we use the natural resources, and we, like our ancestors also, we have a lots of says in our communities that how to conserve natural resources and how to give back to the Mother Earth. There are words like Pachamama, Terra Madre, Mother Earth, and Dharti Mata in our language. So these are all words in different communities, but they all say this earth is our mother. And we should not exploit. We can, and we, our ancestors also, and like we have lots of songs about it that they say that this earth has enough to provide us for our need, but not for the greed. So, like when we are discussing with the pastoralist community about the climate crisis and about job crisis and all with our 70, 80 years old people, and how, I mean, what they see this, the crisis and all, they said, look, our pastoralism is a kind of a concept where it goes against the capitalism. Like, and then they have described what is the difference between the capitalism and pastoralism. But some researchers and scientists challenge me that pastoralism also capitalism. It may be the viewpoint. But our old elder in our customer institution, they say, living together, unitedly. And the interdependence is our way of life. Like we have many customs that we call parasparavalamban, and we have a system called janadas in the breeding practices. We have, that janada system says the how to conserve a breed. And it's not from, it's not come from the scientist, but it is from the community. We have, like, if somebody's livelihood collapse due to the flood or any disease, any livestock dies, the community comes and give us one livestock each to that family. And there is no, I mean, there is no need to prepare any budget or proposal or anything for it, because that's the community's process. And even to conserve a common property resources, there are norms. Which year, in which direction will go? And today the whole world is talking about the copyrights. Even if I write two sentences, I will say the copyright. We say it's no copyright. It's knowledge and resources are for sharing. That's what like my elder people in the community, the leader of the customer institution says, that the whatever we have, and that for that particular we have a say is that gajetya gara. But wherever the cloud, there is a voice of the cloud, wherever the rain, the pastoralists go and take their livestock there and the graze. And today, like also we are discussing about the gender equity issues globally in most communities, there is a problem. And that is like in pastoralism, and like particularly in my country, we had a women-led families in past. And today also in certain areas, we have the economic control in with the women hand. But the problem with today's development model, which we are facing, is each and every piece of land is now grabbed by the corporate and by the nation, in the name of nations, for the any kind of, in the name of development, each, and we do not get any compensation. When I heard about the FPIC, first time, I was surprised that what is the FPIC for my community? Nobody is listening us. Free, prior, and informed consent. I mean, about the rights over the common property resources and natural resources, I mean, nobody listen us. Only, in the last years, during the monsoon, 9 pastoralists were killed only in one region. And nothing happened to the killers because they go hand in hand. Still, our voice, I mean, nationally or globally, we do not have that much the voice. And we do not get any compensation when we, like, they force out from the part. I mean, for the, I don't know like how to, I had never studied in English, so my English is not that good, but I don't know, like national park or something, when they want to develop, they said the pastoralists move away from here. They want to protect lion. Of course, the lions are our friend, but to protect lion, why are you throwing us out? We have been living together for centuries. I mean, these are certain things, but for that, now we also have an answer for it. It's not like always the problems we are facing. The World Alliance of Mobile Indigenous People, and recently we had a global gathering of the women pastoralists in my place, in my village, where the women from 32 countries, they all gathered there for 7 days. IFAD supported us strongly, and also other international organizations, they supported us. And we unitedly decided that, okay, let's do not depend on others. Let's unite ourselves first. Let's build our capacity and raise voices nationally and globally. So here, I would urge the people from the different civil society movement and from the government and non-government organization sectors that wherever you are working, we would love if you can focus on pastoralism, and if you can raise the voice of the pastoralists, and they must be there in the country where you are working, but they may be not, people have not seen them, they might be nomadic, they might be not having a national identity or any kind of a registration or birth certification, so, and maybe not having any national or regional identity. Please identify, recognize them, and work with them. That's what I would like to thank you.
Thank you, Lalji, and thank you for bringing the voice of the pastoralists of Asia here. Thank you very much. And now we move to the last region, the Latin American region, and I would give the floor to Juan Carlos Intiach, the representative from COICA. Please, Juan Carlos.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. I think there is interpretation. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. brothers from the Permanent Forum. I'm proud and happy to be sitting here with my brothers from different regions, also with the IFAD staff. I want to thank IFGIA and IFAD for this opportunity. From COICA, the coordinating body of the indigenous organization of the Amazon Basin. I'm part of the executive committee. I'm from the Shuar people in the Equatorian Amazonian. And we have developed key activities recognizing historical processes and organizational processes. Our concept of organization has been developed. Later, we have developed strategic alliances at the regional Latin American level. In Latin America, we have arrived to a consensus with the regional organizations to develop a common agenda, because diversity is great, as you know. We have different languages in the sector I represent is more than 10 million square kilometers of Amazon Basin, 390 different peoples with different languages and indigenous peoples are voluntarily isolated, what we call free peoples. They also have a say through organizations and leaders, taking all this reality into account, all the processes that have taken us to where we are now with IFAD must be applauded, but we have to know that each different organization come from a struggle and a process. At the Abjajala regional level, we have made an effort to reach consensus, and we say, yes, this is a very interesting process, but we cannot ignore and we cannot forget the processes at the community base. So the different indigenous organizations in Latin America, we have a common agenda, the Abjajala agenda we are now building. So we have to recognize and know about the different struggles in Latin America, but we have to build a common consensus. In the Amazon, for instance, for us, the key issue is the territory, the territorial issues. We need the legal recognition of territories. But we cannot move forward alone by ourselves. We need to count with all the different actors, civil society and states. How can indigenous people relate with them? We are the main actors, and we have rights, and states have to recognize our rights. Sometimes the ILO 169 convention is not implemented, is not recognized. The declaration, the UN declaration on the rights of indigenous on the rights of indigenous people, is not being implemented, is not being recognized. We have to recognize that some of the government are moving in a transition. Bolivia, for instance, have recognized the declaration as a national law, but it's not only that, it has to be implemented. Implementation is the next step. So apart from the establishment of the forum, we are here talking about empowerment. There is the importance to really strengthen empowering of indigenous peoples and regional organizations, indigenous regional organizations, which allow us for the full and effective participation. And in the IFAD meeting, we recognized that this process was contributing. The efforts were multiple. There were differences, different languages as well. There are enormous differences, but we have to think about what is the situation of indigenous peoples in all the different regions, and we have a common and constant struggle. From the Amazon Basin, there are a lot of problems. We're talking about RED, for instance, the UN RED, extractive industries, the pressure on isolated indigenous peoples, etc. We have many problems in the area. I don't want to make this too long and to be able to have some interactive dialogue. I would just like to say we support and we recognize and we applaud the IFAD forum, but we have to monitor it. We have to invite governments that are there. We are actors with rights. The estates also have their vote, and we have to also consider other elements, the Kyoto Protocol, the CBD. All these international processes might also be taken into account. The COICA is going to be monitoring this process. We think it's an important opportunity. I wanted to mention two things to finalize. How are we going to interact with the Millennium Development Goals process within this forum, and also how are we going to interact with the next process of the of Rio Plus 20, and how are the permanent forum also going to consider these two issues, Millennium Development Goals and Rio Plus 10. And we are also inviting you to the Summit of Amazonian Indigenous People, which is going to happen in Manaus in later this year. Thank you very much, Juan Carlos, and thank you for recalling us about the importance of the struggle of indigenous people in the different regions. And thank you for your invitation of the Indigenous People Summit. We wish you all the success in the summit. It's a historic summit. We have finished now with the interventions.
For the interpreter, she has asked me to. She prefers I do it in English. So we will. We have finished with the panelists, with our panelists. But before we open the floor, we have here in the room many of the people, also the indigenous representatives who participated in the seminar in Rome, who are engaged in this process. So I will first ask them if any of them wants to take the floor. Please let me know. Okay, so it seems that no one wants to take the floor.
John?
So I will open the floor for questions or clarifications to any of the panelists here. I will ask you to say your name and where do you come from, or the name of your organization. So please, yes.
Yes, thank you very much to IFAD for pioneering this process, which is very, very important. And I won't be surprised if other UN agencies follow your example. I'm Beatrice Duncan from UNICEF. I've heard so much about the forum, but I cannot picture in my mind what it looks like. What does it really look like? If you say there's an IFAD Indigenous Peoples Forum, what does it look like? And you also mentioned that it exists at global, regional, and country level. So give us the picture. And how are you financing this? Thank you.
Shall I answer directly? The forum has just been established. What the forum agreed upon was a roadmap for 2 years, and exactly to understand how to start now working. This afternoon we will have the first meeting of the steering committee, the ad hoc steering committee to implement this roadmap. We have been building on the experience of the Farmers Forum. So the idea is to really engage indigenous peoples in IFAD's, development initiatives at country level. We will start in different steps. We will not be able to do everything in a row. It will also depend from country to country. But the principal idea is to involve indigenous peoples' representatives whenever IFAD defines and designs its country strategies at regional at country level, its projects. Of course, we have to understand together which the process are in each country and how we will work. Next year, we will start with regional meetings where indigenous peoples and IFAD staff will meet in preparation of the 2013 Global Forum. So it will be really a process step by step. And then it is a process. It's not just a meeting that will take place in Rome every 2 years. But the global meeting is very important because it will bring to the headquarters, to IFAD management, to the governments, what is happening at country and regional level, and to plan together and to continue to do what we do good and it works, but to adjust on what is not working. Would you like to add something?
Or you better see if there are other questions first. Then I'll come.
Thank you, Antonella. Is there any other question?
Yeah, just to comment, my name is Tezerra. I'm coming from Ethiopia, Pastoral Forum Ethiopia. Just to comment on this forum from the African side, I think it is good if Joseph link with indigenous forums established at the Eastern Africa level, the elders' councils, so that they can have a good opportunity to work with IFAD. And do you know this forum, Joseph, the indigenous forum? So that would be nice. We can work together. Thank you. Just this, I'd like to comment on.
Any other question, Jose Carlos?
Thank you, Lola. What I would like to do is a suggestion. I had the pleasure of meeting in the important meeting that IFAD and NIFGI organized in Rome. And also there I discovered the role played by IFAD. I think this initiative to establish this forum in IFAD is a very important step that should be also taken as a model by other institutions whose work has a lot of impact on our territories and indigenous societies. Maybe here we may have a representative from the World Bank or the Inter-American Development Bank, the IFM, all of them to fund both public and private sector to develop projects. They have enormous impacts, generally negative impacts in our territories and peoples. So let's hope that these institutions could consider the initiative by IFAD, so to establish also an advisory body made up with indigenous representatives, and that could help to avoid the harm and even death suffered by some indigenous brothers and sisters due to the projects funded by these institutions. I think this IFAD initiative should be followed by other institutions and bodies within the UN system, and particularly by financial multilateral institutions. I just wanted to add this and also to congratulate IFAD and IFGIA for their support. Thank you, Jose Carlos. Thanks for your suggestion.
I think I will... Oh, sorry. Okay. Yes, please. So, is the last question?
Yeah.
My name is Legbo Cesar Opiagbara. I am of the Movement for the Sword of Goni People in Nigeria. I most sincerely thank the organizers of this side event and also the introduction to what IFAD is doing on the ground. I must also see this opportunity to thank Antonella because recently I contacted her through email on some materials from IFAD for a training workshop, and she did send that to us for a workshop we are doing in Nigeria on IFAD policy. My question goes to the issue of the participants in the Global Forum in 2013. I'm seeing between 20 to 30 persons here as the proposed participants in the session. I just want to know if there is any reason why that had to be limited to 20 or 30, or is that not being restrictive? Then my second question also goes to the issue of country engagement. Because for some of us who are coming from countries where the government is yet to recognize the existence of indigenous people in its territory, I'm just wondering how IFAD intend to carry out this country-level engagement in the face of non-recognition by some governments of indigenous people in this territory. Because we had that experience in Nigeria a couple of months ago. In fact, when we are planning for the workshop on UN agency policies. And in meetings from the UN agencies, I was informed that they don't have any work on indigenous people because they don't want to get involved in internal politics of Nigeria. And it was something I heard from UNDP and also from other UN agencies in country. So I want to know how IFAD intend to run its country-level engagement, especially in the face of governments, where government are not recognizing indigenous people. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. I think we need to finish. We have to finish. So I will ask Antonella or Rodney to respond, and so we close the meeting.
Okay, four or five very quick points. First of all, both Juan Carlos and Joseph mentioned climate change and environment, and we're very concerned in IFAD on getting the right approach to that. We put through last year a strategy on climate change for rural development, and just last week, environment and natural resource management policy. So rest assured, that's a very big concern to try and get the balance right. On implementing the policy from Devashish, you know, I'll be talking a little bit about this in the statement this afternoon, but how to bring our program cycle procedures into line with the new policy is a regular concern. We have checklists to try and ensure that our country programs bear those things in mind. Similarly, on process, I see that a few people mentioned Frank Roy, who I see is still sitting in the audience. When he was a younger man, he was Assistant President External Affairs with us and was very much responsible for igniting Antonella's enthusiasm and commitment to indigenous people. One symptom of that is in answer to UNICEF's concern on how we finance this process is that we are attributing some of our grant finance to that. It's a process, as Antonella described. It requires costs to bring those consultations together. And I'll be talking a little bit about that this afternoon as well. Finally, on Nigeria and the policy, the answer to your question is about policy dialogue and advocacy. And since you single out Nigeria, you're probably aware that our president is from Nigeria, Kanai Onwuensi, and he's very familiar with the difficulties, shall we say, or challenges of negotiating with different governments to have them, first of all, recognize the significance of rural development and the targets in terms of economic development and poverty reduction, let alone the poorer sectors of community within which are indigenous people. So those are all points you make very well. I'm hinted that we're out of time, so apologies, my answers have to be rather shortened to the point. But thank you, Lola.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I would like also to finish by thanking the secretariat and the technicians who has helped us, and of course the interpreter up there. So thank you very much.